Night before Resurrection Sunday, we thought we'd bring a little bit of a service about the resurrection, or about the empty message about the resurrection or the empty tomb here. And I think it's an interesting thought, and I pray that it helps you tonight about the importance of the resurrection. We entitled it "The Implications of the Empty Tomb," and you'll be able to follow along a little bit on the screen behind us. We will get back to Haggai just next Wednesday. We only, I think, have two more sermons out of Haggai. I'm enjoying the book and looking forward to getting back to it. But tonight, let's look here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 is known for those first number of verses that explain the gospel to us, with the good news of Jesus Christ. And here Paul is writing to this church at Corinth. It is a very interesting church. It is described earlier in chapter number 3 as being immature, being carnal. They liked picking people. Some people say, "I'm a follower of Peter," and one says, "I'm a follower of Apollos." Another one, "I'm a follower of Paul," and Paul says, "We're all followers of Jesus Christ, and it's not about who or individuals." And we saw there was some sin in this church that got rebuked, and Paul was dealing with them. We saw about in this book is wonderful things. We remember the love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but chapter 15 here, you see the description of the gospel given, and then we're going to look here in verses 12 through 20 about the importance of the resurrection or the implications of the empty tomb. But we're going to read up through verse number 12 to just kind of get a picture of what's going on here. It says, "Moreover, brethren," and so who's he speaking to? He's speaking to people that are believers. "I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." He's reminding them what brought them to Christ, and he's reminding them, this is what your foundation is. This is what your hope is found in. It says, "By which means also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." It says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So he's reminding them the simplicity of the gospel, reminding them what Jesus Christ did. He's building up for something here, and he's trying to explain something, that there's a heresy that's entering into the church. Some people are doubting the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he's kind of laying a foundation. This is what you've been saved in. This is what you believed in. This is where your faith is founded in. Verse number 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, talking about Peter there, and then the rest of the apostles all saw Jesus Christ's resurrected body, and it was done according to the Scriptures, as we saw in the verses 3 and 4. It says, "After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once." He's saying, look, this is not just some type of leaf of faith. There's not only the apostles, but over 500 at one time had seen the resurrected Jesus Christ, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. He's saying, look, some of these are still alive. You can go still talk to the greater part of them, which means the majority of them, but some had fallen asleep. And once again, it's referring to death. "After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles," and continues on. "And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time," and referring to when Paul saw him. Many times people think he had gone and was taught by Jesus himself over in the desert area. We'll get to that later on in the book of Acts. "For I am the least of the apostles," Paul here is saying in humility, even though he was the one that was accomplishing probably the most for Jesus Christ because of his past. He's saying that he was the least. He says, "that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." I like that. You know, it's, you know, Paul saying, look, I don't deserve any of this. Anything that's good about me is because of the grace of God. Now, some of us have some bad characteristics. It's not because of the grace of God. But Paul is saying, he's directing the attention, he's directing the publicity he's getting here, and he says, look, don't think any highly of me. It's not about me. It's about what God's grace did for me, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And we don't have time to get into all that, but it's just saying, look, I wanted to make sure that his grace wasn't in vain, that he was going to continue on serving, and he's going to do it the most he could for God. "Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached, and so you believed." So here's the thing. He says, look, we preached this. You believed. Verse number 12, he begins making a case. And tonight I'd like to look at this for a little while, this foundational doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'd like to think at two different main things. First of all, what if the tomb was not empty? What if Jesus Christ was still in that tomb? And that's what this is the case he makes here. In verse number 12, it says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? He's saying, look, yeah, we believe in Jesus Christ, but we just don't believe that he ever rose again from the dead. Now, that would be an unbeliever, that would be an apostate, that would be coming into the church and questioning. Well, you remember the sect of the Sadducees, and there was many different forms of religions that would say there is no resurrection. They weren't picking on Jesus Christ, but instead they were saying it just can't happen, and it's not going to happen. He was trying to awake these Corinthian believers to the importance of the resurrection. So what he does, he paints a dismal picture of what life would be if there had been no resurrection. What life would have been like if the resurrection had never happened, if Jesus Christ was still in that tomb. And he begins to make an argument, and Paul's very good at making these arguments. He's taking spot to spot to spot and saying, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, this is what would happen. And this was the case. And I know a few years ago I preached a message, what if Jesus Christ had never come to the earth and what the earth would be like in today. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, Paul takes that same type of view and says, you know what? What if the tomb was not empty, or what if there was no resurrection? So let's look here. We're going to read through 12 through 20, and then we're going to preach the message, the implications of the empty tomb. Verse number 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, ye are yet in your sins, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. Verse number 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits. And this idea of first fruits is saying that there's more coming. He was the first to rise from the dead. And it says, of them that slept. So let's look at this for a little while, and I think it's a good thing of focus, because sometimes we get to Easter, we get to Resurrection Sunday, and we see it happen every single year. Sometimes it sneaks up on us, sometimes they have it in March, which makes it a little bit more difficult to get the things ready for the Easter program, to get our hearts sometimes prepared for it. But what if there was no resurrection? What if the tomb was not empty? What would that mean for us as believers in the church? And that's what Paul is saying here in verse number 13. He says, look, I understand what you're saying, and your argument is there is no resurrection. Well, if there is no resurrection, then what about Jesus Christ? So the first thing I want you to see is there's no foundation. We have no foundation. Our gospel is fundamental, and there's some different truths. And one of the things that is fundamental about the truth is that Jesus Christ had to rise from the dead. He had to conquer sin. He had to conquer the grave. He had to conquer death. And Paul reminds us that if there's no resurrection from the dead, then Jesus did not rise again. And if he is dead, then everything we believe comes crashing in around us. If there's no resurrection from the dead, then Jesus himself is no better than the other 10,000 people who claimed that they came from God and claimed to be the Messiah. There is plenty of people who said they've come from God. Even some of the crazy people that live today, they are saying that they're the Messiah. Hey, follow after me, or, you know, all the different people that claim to be God. Yeah, they're all dead. But Jesus, he raised from the dead. No one else could do that. If he did not rise, his death was the unfortunate end to a misspent life. If Jesus was not going to rise from the dead, his life wasn't worth it. If he was going to lay in that tomb, his teachings would mean nothing more than that he was a madman, or at best a liar. If it's true and there is no resurrection from the dead, then the very system of the belief that we cherish so deeply is nothing more than just another religion that offers nothing but false hope. See, it's all found in the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. If Jesus is still in the tomb today, then our way of life is a farce, and we are amongst some of the greatest fools to ever live. See, if Jesus is dead, then our system of belief is dead. Our foundations have crumbled beneath us, and we might as well just go home. See, I honestly believe that a lot of the different false religions and all those different things that they're doing out there, they might as well just go home. There's no sense worshiping a false God. You might as well just go live it up and do whatever you want. If Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead, there's no sense for us to be here tonight. We might as well just go home and live it up. But see, our foundations would be destroyed. What else does it say here? And it says there would be no faith. Look what it says in verses 14 through 16. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also in vain, which means the preaching is worthless, the faith is worthless. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So we see here first that it was no faith. In these three verses, the great apostle begins to paint even a more sobering thought. It's this idea, if Jesus were still dead today, think about it, the preaching would be in vain. You think about all the different people who have spoke, and you think, first of all, Mary Magdalene, and you think about those two Marys that Jesus had, they took off running, and they were going back to tell the disciples, he's alive. That's foolishness. Mary Magdalene, you think of all the different preachers, all the different apostles, all that preaching would be in vain. All that stuff would be worthless. It would not help anything or anyone, because it would be based off a lie if Jesus had never risen from the dead. Also, not only is our preaching in vain, you think all the different great preachers of the day, you think of the Spurgeons and the Billy Sundays and whoever you might consider a great preacher. You know what? Those hundreds and thousands of people that have said the gospel of Jesus Christ and how you can be saved, all that would be in vain. Plus, our faith would be in vain too. Paul tells us that if Jesus is dead, the preaching is vain, it's worthless, don't even listen to it. If Jesus is dead, then the faith is in vain too. Don't waste your time serving a God that's in a tomb. Don't waste your time worshiping a God that's still in a tomb. If Jesus really is still dead, then what we should do be no different than worshiping a rock or worshiping a sun or a star. Jesus is still, if he is still in the grave, then he is a false prophet. Phony and foolish. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then all the preaching we have listened to over all those years, and I thought about it, if I've gone to church most of my life, four times a week, you know, for 42 years, that's a lot of sermons. Don't even worry about the revivals and the missions conference. You know what? That all that stuff would be in vain if he had never raised from the dead. All that praying, all that serving, all that witnessing, all that church attendance, nothing but a waste of time. And I don't want to get you wrong. I think it is worthwhile. I believe that Jesus is rose from the dead, and I believe he is worthy of our praise and worthy of our service and worthy of our witness and worthy of our attendance. He's worthy of all these things. But if he's not arisen from the dead, all these years have been a lie, and we are fallen victim to one of the cruelest hoax of all times. And Christianity faith is a great joke of all time. But see, if he didn't rise from the dead, there would be no, our faith would be in vain. Listen, next thing. Think about it. We are all false witnesses. It says in verse number 15, he says, yea, and we are all found false witnesses of God. It's saying that, Paul is saying, look, when you're going out and telling people that you're a Christian, that you can be saved and on your way to heaven, if you're not talking about Jesus Christ, you know what? It's a false witness. Every time we open up our mouths to sing, to witness, to testify, to preach, whatever we do in his name, we are made liars because Jesus Christ, if he did not rise from the dead. See, the resurrection is so important. And that's what Paul is trying to teach him here. Look, your faith is in vain if you believe he hasn't risen from the dead. If you don't see the value of it, our preaching is in vain. You become a false witness if you don't think he's ever come to died and rose again. It's worthless. And see, but once again, we know it's not false. You think about Paul here. What do you think about him? He was a man of wealth, social standing, influence, and great education. Why would he throw all that away when he was trying to persecute the Christians and anybody who bear the name of Jesus Christ? Why would he throw it all away for a lie? You know, no, many people do not. They will live for a lie. They'll even give for a lie, but very few would ever die for a lie. And these apostles, they knew that it was the truth. They understood it was the truth. They had saw him. They have handled him. And they were willing to die for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's why we know it's not a lie. But you know what? If it was a lie, if he did not rise, we'd be false witnesses. And he keeps on painting this bleak picture saying he had to rise from the dead. You have to get this straight. He's saying, look, there would be no forgiveness Look what it says in verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. That last phrase. Ye are yet in your sins. Your sins have not been forgiven. All those things. If he did not raise from the dead, your sins are still there. You're still lost. You're still on your way to hell. There is no future. And look what it says in here in verse number 19. It says, then they also which are fallen asleep are perished. And in this life only we have no hope in Christ. We are all men most miserable. There is no faith. The faith is in vain. There is no forgiveness. There's no future. It's the heart of the gospel message. It's the truth that Jesus left heaven, came, was born of a virgin, lived and died and rose again so we could have eternal life. If he was still in that tomb, all this would be worthless. And it would mean that we would have no future. There would be no hope for the future. And it even goes a step farther, saying that our loved ones have gone on before us. They're gone forever. I don't know about you, but that's one of the things I love to think about is, you know, when I say goodbye to people, like I said goodbye to my grandmother, you know, a number of days ago, I'm going to see her again someday. We rest our hope in that. If he didn't rise from the dead, it wouldn't be there. Say, Pastor, why are you saying this? I'm trying to tell you, Easter or the resurrection, it's important. It's something we need to rejoice about. It's something we need to celebrate, because if we didn't have it, if he didn't rise from the dead, there would be no faith. Our preaching would be in vain. We would be false witnesses. We would have no future. Our sins would still be with us. We might as well go out and live like the rest of the animals in the world today that don't seem like they have any common sense. Our loved ones have gone beyond. He said, where do you see that at? Well, look what it says in verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. They're gone. You're not going to see him again if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead. If Christ is still dead, then we might as well live it up here in this world. Heaven is nothing but a cruel joke. Our mom and dads are gone forever. Sons and daughters are gone. Brothers and sisters are gone. Grandparents are gone. And if there is no resurrection from the dead, then the lives we live for Jesus Christ are all in vain. Look at verse number 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If he didn't rise from the dead, that's what we are. We're miserable. Because what we have pinned our faith and our hopes and everything we have trusted in, everything we have counted in, happened that morning when he was risen from the grave. The resurrection makes all that possible for us. So because of that, because there was a resurrection, because the tomb is not empty, there's some different things here that are you can think about. And I think it's important to get and be excited about as we get ready to celebrate Resurrection Sunday here. First, we can be settled that our foundation is firm. We can say that it's a bedrock doctrine of our faith that Jesus is still alive, and because of that, Christianity is real. It is true. It's not based off of somebody who's still in a grave. It is rock solid. If Jesus Christ can rise from the dead, what is it that Christ cannot do? He can do all things. Our faith is genuine. Our preaching has power. Our faith is real. Our witness is true. Jesus lives, and we stand vindicated in our faith and in our claims concerning him. It is not a waste of time to trust Jesus. It is not an exercise in vanity to believe in the one who called Jesus. He lives, and because he lives, our faith lives also. Our faith can be genuine. It can be sincere. We can sincerely walk up to somebody and say, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, you can have life. And that's what Resurrection Sunday is about. Our forgiveness is accomplished. Because he lives, we are no longer lost in our sin. Because he lives, we have been delivered by his blood and by his been justified by him, by his blood, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now all of our sins have been washed away as far as the east from the west. We have been forgiven and we have been redeemed. And because of that, our future is secure. You know, when we talk about those loved ones that have gone on before, we could say we are going to see him again. Why is that? It's because he rose again. We can say that we have faith that is sincere and that is true. Why? Because it says in verse number 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. He is risen. And because of the first fruit of them that sleep, that they will all rise. And I'm glad to know in my heart that Jesus lives today. And when I read the Bible, And you know what? It doesn't, the Bible helps and the Bible teaches us, but you know, it's personal. It's a life that we have, that He's made a difference in our lives and He has spoken to our hearts. We received Him because we saw our need as a sinner and cried out to God because we believed that He rose again from the dead. Our future is secure. There's a heavenly home waiting for all of God's children on the other side. In this life, we can enjoy the victory, but in the life to come, we can enjoy the presence of the one who died in our place on the cross. Yes, there will be our negatives turned into positives, but the despair has been changed because He lives today. This evening, I hope that you take some of these things that have been said and you think about it. What if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead? What if I was like all those other people worshiping or listening to a false God or a man that was a false teacher that is dead and still inside a grave, and someday he's going to have to bow to Jesus Christ anyway? What if he had never risen again? What if he was still in that tomb? What if when the Marys came to the tomb, they had them roll away the stone and they just anointed the body and nothing ever happened again? What? We'd be in a pretty desperate spot. Say, desperate? Look what it says in verse number 19. We are of all men most miserable. We wouldn't have any hope. We wouldn't have any true faith, genuine faith. Our sins would not be forgiven. And I just want to encourage you as we get ready to celebrate each and every day of our lives, celebrating that Jesus rose again from the dead. Sometimes you got to look at it from the other side and say, well, what would happen if he didn't rise from the dead? There wouldn't be this Christian faith, a genuine. Think about all the different things that wouldn't be here, the influence of the Christian lives. I don't even know if we would be here as a world if we wouldn't have self-destructed over these years of how much sin and how much madness goes on when there is a group of believers that are still here. And I don't really know what the world would be like today. I don't want to imagine what the world would be like if he didn't rise again from the dead. So this evening, what it would be like, or what if there was no resurrection? What if the tomb wasn't empty? And I don't want to confuse anybody. I believe with all my heart. I believe in Christ, that he rose from the dead. I think it's a solid rock of the foundation of my faith, solid rock foundation of our church, is what the Word of God teaches us. But it's something we should celebrate. It's something we should be excited about. Think about it. You know, sometimes I think we've gotten so busy in our time, we do not take time to reckon. We do not take time to consider. We do not take time to meditate or muse or just take a few minutes. And when I saw that, I had read that line somewhere, what if there was no resurrection? I thought, you know what? What if there would be none? It just pushes us to remember how thankful we should be, and everything else in perspective, and all life falls right where it's supposed to be. You know what? I have something to worship. I have something to be excited about. I have something to praise the Lord about. He rose again, and he's coming back someday. And you know what? I don't have to live a life most miserable. I have something that nobody else has when it comes to their belief system. I have a Savior that is alive, sitting on the right hand of God today. This morning, or this evening, as we prepare our hearts, think a little bit about what it would have been like if he was still in that tomb. The misery that those disciples had lived through, Peter would have never been forgiven. I mean, he went out crying because he betrayed Christ, or denied Christ, and they would be like Judas. Most miserable. When Judas went into those high priests and he cast that money back and he says, I have betrayed the innocent blood, they says, what's the big deal to us? That's not our fault, that's your fault. He repented to the wrong person. I think he could have still went to God and asked God to forgive him, but he was miserable. He repented. He saw how ugly his actions had become, and he was overwhelmed with the grief. And that's what the devil does. They take you and use you and spit you out and ends up committing suicide. Men most miserable. What would we be like if we did not have Christ? What would we be like if Christ had never risen from the dead? I think it's a good time to remember all the different benefits we have and also be thankful for what he's done for us. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.